Welcome, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew, guys. If you don't mind waving for the video portion of our show, he's back, needs no introduction. He's drinking coffee. He's got something walking by on the screen, but it's Randy Sutton, retired lieutenant, Las Vegas Metro Police Department, the founder of the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Thanks so much for being on the show, Randy. Appreciate it. Also, Lieutenant Jeff Wenninger from LAPD, retired as a commander over there. He now lives in Ohio, but his roots are still, they are always with LAPD. And we've also got, and I usually go in order of rank, and I don't know how the captain got at the bottom of this. Of course, he always admits that they have no hearts. You know, once you reach that level of captain, you're heartless.
Or backbone.
That's what it is. But anyhow, we have Captain Brett Bartlett, 32 years of, and he likes me to use this word. It's not really normally my vocabulary. I even have to study up on how to pronounce it. Exemplary is the word, law enforcement career for 32 years. Wow. So I use that word only for Brett Bartlett. I'm sorry. I have to say captain in front of his name, Captain Brett Bartlett. He has to be on the show. It's like the musicians that require like the green or red M&Ms in their bowls when you go and stay and do venues. Brett has certain conditions that I have to meet when he does the show. So Captain Brett Bartlett, 32 years of exemplary law enforcement experience.
Let's move this along, Chip. Let's move it along.
Chief, did he call me chief? Did you get that? I got promoted. No. All right. A shout out to our sponsors, Galls.com, our title sponsor, Comply Technologies, our satellite sponsor, and we're having a blast on satellite radio right now. Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're reaching 1.5 million people on stream. Also, Two Bells, they built a new online store at leoroundtable.com. Check that out. I think that because Jeff Wenninger is on the show, we're doing a $20 gift card giveaway for the Two Bell site. That means that if you enter by typing in the number 2 and the letter B for Bell, you'll be automatically entered in to win a free $20 off our store that Two Bells built for us at leoroundtable.com. And you also get a free coolie as well. So that's coming up. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns with the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and also lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. Now, we got some sad news that we're going to be talking about first. And let's cover this. Randy, I know your mic's open. I'm glad. I think Randy's got the most information about what's going on over in LA right now. After we talk about that, I'll kind of whet the appetite of what's coming down the pipe. But Randy, we just became some news, a tragedy that happened with the LA Sheriff's Office. Can you give us the latest update on that?
Yeah, this is just breaking. This happened just about 2 hours ago. 3 LA deputies have been killed in the line of duty. They were bomb techs. This happened at the facility where the bomb techs are trained and all their vehicles are at, and an explosion took place. They have no idea why at this point, at least that they're releasing, but the explosion was of such intensity that it killed 3 of their deputies, and the blast damage is pretty incredible. So we don't know the cause, but we do know the thoughts or prayers are needed for the families of these officers.
And I ditto that. Guys, this is the time to pray. I mean, and I think that everybody on the show, we believe in the power of prayer. So we need to remember the families and the people. And there may be some people injured that we're unaware of as well. But we're not going to be releasing names at this point. We don't have a lot of information. Jeff Wenninger actually used to work for the LA County Sheriff's Office before he went over to LAPD. Keep these families in your hearts and prayers, please. Going on, let's go ahead and whet the appetite on what we're going to be talking about. Let's get the mood going a little bit lighter. We have I don't know how much lighter this is. This is in Florida, but we have it's an update article, but there's a video component of this. We have a Florida woman fights off a kidnapper, and the way this thing went down, I thought that maybe it was like a domestic or something. I mean, here in Florida, thinking that this thing going down and she's kicking and screaming, he's trying to throw her into this big dually, it looked like, truck. And oh my gosh, I just couldn't believe it. And then when you find out the story about how this thing went down, it's really going to shock a lot of people. We got also Connecticut officers. It's a a justified shoot. They shot a man who killed a state police canine, and he fired on the troopers. Now, look, I usually have a hard time throwing in these a video where we're going to be showing a canine getting killed. I'm doing that. I don't like it. I feel like I kind of need to because of the show and stuff. And you know, it's life. It's real. And even though it bothers me, I'm going to do it. I'm out of my comfort zone on this, but we need to cover this one as well. Going on, we've also got another one, Colorado State Patrol. There's a dash cam showing officers using a grappler on a pursuing suspect and resulting in a crash. Now, look, the grappler device is a pretty cool device, but on this one, when it does take effect, the bad guy forces the deploying car to crash into the center concrete median along with him. It's a heck of a crash. Then we've got another one suspended. Is it North Andover officer? Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. Ended up being shot by police during a domestic violence incident, issues a statement. It's a female officer, or was. She's not going down quietly. So we may or may not have time to get that one. We got Orlando police release body cam of an arrest that went viral. And then we got this former Las Vegas guy again. Rainey's going to be on the, Rainey's talked about this, has some inside scoop on this, but a police officer who was convicted of murder, he's now going to be released from prison. But when you find out the way that went down in the plea deal he arranged, even though he doesn't necessarily agree with it, the judge allowed it. There are some surprises in this. And then we've got a bad guy fatally shot by Antioch police officers when charging at them with a knife. So that's coming up. So if you guys are ready, let's go in and do the first update article. If that's okay. I know it's from Florida. Everybody knows that we're half crazy down here in Florida anyhow. So rvmnews.com, Red Voice Media News. Brave Florida woman fights off terrifying kidnapping attempt, kicking and screaming, all caught on video. And yes, it was. So this scene was captured by surveillance cameras, and this courageous Florida woman, she thwarted a kidnapping attempt. It happened outside of a smoke shop in where else but St. Augustine. I mean, this is where they have my distillery, Randy. I mean, you know, I love St. Augustine bourbon, and they've got Flagler College up there. It's a college town. Not a lot goes on up there. Well, apparently I'm wrong. The footage, it was released by the St. Johns County Sheriff's Office. It shows the victim screaming as she's desperately fighting against her attacker. And when you're watching it, this guy's dragging her to his truck. And so she's fighting back, and it could have ended a lot worse, according to our article. But she was, I got to admit, she was fearless. And also she got some help from a nearby Good Samaritan. So it goes on to say that the suspect, he's 31 years old, Theodore Michael Tundador, and he can be seen trying to force this woman into his huge, it looked like a big dually pickup truck outside the shop. Now, according to authorities, the incident started inside the store. And our bad guy went in there and he slipped behind the counter and he was stealing about $270 worth of merchandise, including hemp, cigarettes, and a vape, if you can believe that. Now, our female actually, I guess, worked there. She was an employee. So he attempts to flee and she tries to block his exit. So you got to give her that. But I'm just amazed that this guy, when she tries to block him, he grabs her by the neck, drags her outside towards his truck. And then now we got the surveillance camera picking this up. He forcibly pulls her to the pickup truck. He's got the door open. He's trying to shove her inside, and she's fighting, and she's on the other side of the truck. So we're actually seeing, you know, you can hear her screaming. You can see part of the fight going on that's not blocked by the truck and stuff. And she's struggling. She gets away. And he goes chasing after her, and I guess that's where this Good Samaritan comes along. Now, it says that he got involved, but then it said he dialed 911. So I don't know that the Good Samaritan ever went hands-on, but the everything came together to where this guy gave up and he drove away, and they ended up catching him later. They found out that it was a stolen truck. He stole it from a Jacksonville dealership, with Jacksonville's nearby. And then a fish and game officer, of all people, they spot him driving recklessly a short time later, pull him over, and he tries to flee, and they ended up arresting him, charging him with robbery, attempted kidnapping, and battery. So, you know, Brett, I know you put fish and game officers right around where you have, like, SROs and stuff. So this is one for the good guy. Fish and game, my gosh, they got it going on.
I like those folks. They got guts. They're out there by themselves. The nearest backup is 2.5 weeks away. They're out there. Now, if this was really Florida, where was her pistol?
Oh, because we do pack.
And doesn't this just tell the people that don't believe in guns when they go, what are the likelihood of me being robbed or attacked? Well, for this lady, it was 100%. Now, in the article, it said attempted kidnapping. That's not attempted anything. That's a kidnapping, what we saw right there.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that. And she was partially inside that truck too. So,
well, it doesn't matter when he put his hand around her and pulled her away from where she wanted to be. That's
she was not free to go. Agreed.
That's a kidnapping.
Agreed. All right, Lieutenant Jeff Winninger.
Yeah, I just have to say, this day and age, I was pleased to see that the video that we actually watched wasn't that of a good Samaritan who's observing what's occurring, and they break out their cell phone and take a video rather than take some type of action to help the victim. So I was pleased to see that there was just security camera and not a useless observer.
Yeah, that happens all too often. All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you. So, yep, that is one for Florida. So Florida's down, but we got some other stuff coming up here. So let's jump to our next one here. We've got a story with a video component. This is the one that I didn't really, you know, want to cover, kind of figured that feel like we have to cover it. And I've only got, you know, I've got a limited amount of time before we go to a commercial break here. But this is at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. And it's Connecticut officers are ruled justified in the fatal shooting of a man who killed a state police canine and he fired at troopers. And
do not move. Put your hands up. Put your hands up.
Stay online.
Put your hands up.
And to be honest with you, Brett, with all the gunfire going on, and I know the cops had rifles, but I thought that the canine was shot by a cop. And I still don't know that didn't happen. But guys watching the show, if you want to see the video portion of this, go to our Rumble channel the next day at 9 o'clock Eastern time to put it up there. But we're going to go to our first commercial break right now. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Gauls at Gauls.com, our title sponsor. And, you know, as police officers, we all know we can get our gear from a lot of different sources. Then when you throw the online option into it, the choices are almost limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens, and yes, I said dozens, of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor at Gauls.com. And Brett always says, and Brett's on the show today, they pretty much have everything except for guns and ammo. So if you haven't checked out Gauls lately, please do. And they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. And if you have family, friends, and loved ones, which hopefully you do, hook them up with a new Gauls gift card, and they will be your new best friends. You can do all that by going to Gauls.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Captain Brett Bartlett. I'm doing it in order this time. We've got Lieutenant Randy Sutton. He's got seniority. And Lieutenant Jeff Winninger. So thanks for being on the show, guys. And we left off, and we're going to be talking about a Connecticut officer's ruled justified in a fatal shooting of a man who killed a state police canine and fired on troopers. So let's start the story off. Stonington, Connecticut. So the Connecticut Office of Inspector General, they ruled that the officers were justified when they shot and killed a guy in Stonington. This is back December of 2023. So what, about a year and a half ago, he was wanted in connection. Wanted in connection with a shooting after he ran from police, fatally shot a state canine dog, and he fired at a number of troopers. So it said, they're saying in a quote, saying that it's sad that this incident resulted in the death of Von Malloy, or bad guy, and the state police canine Bronco, according to our Inspector General Robert Devlin Jr. He wrote this in the report that was released on Tuesday. He said that he attributed this to Malloy, or bad guy's, desperate efforts to avoid arrest. Now, the Inspector General, he wrote in the report that authorities had the responsibility to arrest this 42-year-old bad guy who was wanted in connection with the shooting that was in Norwich back in 2022. That injured a woman. Police, they tried to convince Malloy to surrender from a home, and they pivoted to using foam bullets against this guy. He runs, and then he tries taking off again. It was only when he fired his weapon that the troopers returned fire. His actions in firing a gun multiple times posed a threat of serious injury or death to the troopers on the scene. So that they're talking about the justification. So let's get this thing down. According to the report, members of the State Police Violent Crime Task Force East, and that's kind of cool. It's a task force. So they have Norwich Police, Groton Police, Waterford Police Departments working with them, and they attempt to arrest this bad guy, Malloy, who's wanted for this previous shooting around 7:30 p.m. at the residence. And this is on December the 21st of 2023. Now, they had a warrant for his arrest in connection with that April 28th shooting, and where he had fired a gun at a residence and hit a woman. Now, the warrant had been outstanding for his arrest since June of 2022. Now, task force members, they did surveillance, and they were at his residence. They get a search warrant, and they execute it. And it's a Connecticut State Police TAC unit that's doing it, and also the Rhode Island State Police TAC unit. So both those TAC units are executing the search warrant. Now, they give Malloy a number of commands to come out of the home and surrender, but he refuses. So they're using a loudspeaker to do all this stuff. And so they breach the front door with a ram attached to an armored vehicle, and the guy beats foot out of the back of the house, right? So he's running, but he's got a pistol in his hand, and they've got a canine chasing him. And so they fire a couple foam rounds at him. He goes down, canine's approaching him. Now, it says that it's kind of hard to tell from the video, but he's got a gun. He fires quite a bit, but they say he takes out the canine first, unfortunately. And so he fires several rounds, it says, at the canine, said it killed the canine. Canine was alive during part of the shootout thing going on. And so then police end up returning fire, and most of these cops, if not all, had long guns. So the investigation determined that Connecticut State Police trooper, and they give the name Christopher Church, fired one round from his rifle. And then we had Trooper Jared Boldick. He fired four rounds from the same kind of rifle. Sergeant Ken or Sean Paddock, seven rounds from his rifle. Trooper Gregory Fesdini, 12 rounds from his Glock 45 9mm pistol. So he's the guy, he's the lone trooper with a pistol, but I'm glad to see that we've got troopers carrying rifles. Now, the bad guy was pronounced dead. The chief medical examiner said that he had 13 gunshot wounds to his torso and extremities. Toxicology, he had amphetamine, methamphetamine, and THC in his system. So there you go. Guys, commentary on this. We lost a bad guy I don't care about. We lost a police canine, Captain Bartlett.
Did they run a lead level on him? Because
that
would have spiked right there. Now, the only thing I can say, I think it's a great shoot. I just don't understand why it took 2 years to clear the guy. They were no more facts 2 weeks after the event than they were 2 years from that. Justice delayed is justice denied. And that's one of the biggest beefs I had with agencies. They take forever to rule on something that doesn't need any more investigation.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff Winninger.
Well, I think just to make sure that the listeners are clear in what actually occurred here, it's not that these officers were charged and they were found not guilty of excessive force. Essentially what it is, when I was the officer in charge, the detective entity investigated all officer-involved shootings and lethal force cases, the LAPD, what happens when you have a lethal officer-involved shooting incident in Los Angeles, the district attorney comes out, they have representatives present, and we have to complete our report because we kind of have a bifurcated responsibility. So our report's going to be used to determine if there's any criminal culpability on the side of the law enforcement officers that were involved, and then also used for the administrative adjudication of the case. So essentially, when you have these higher end incidents, what ultimately occurs is it has to go to either, like in LA, the district attorney. Here in Connecticut, it's the inspector general of the state of Connecticut that determines that, in this case, that everything met the criteria of Graham versus Connor, their actions of the officers are objectively reasonable. So that's really what this is all about. Unfortunately, like Brett said, it takes a long time. The process is slow, and it's not as quick as we would like it to be. Unfortunately, that puts additional stress that perhaps is unnecessary on the officers that are involved, because, of course, we all don't like that cloud over our head. We want to be exonerated when clearly our actions were appropriate.
Thanks, Lieutenant. Randy Sutton.
Jeff, you use some big words, man. I like that. You must be an author or something. So I have one question about this. At what point did they know that he had a gun? Because my question is, did they deploy foam bullets on a guy who had a gun in his hand?
Yeah, and release a canine. And they may not have known that he had a gun in his hand at that time. But that's an excellent question, actually. Guys, we're coming up on our second commercial break. Stick with us. It's going to get really good. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-ethics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminate weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with their CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most hands-on, common sense approaches that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. All right, now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to, plus they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up next week on July the 23rd, Miranda and beyond. You want to sign up at BlueTheGold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game, because frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock and I'm your host. We're joined by Captain Brett Bartlett, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, and also Lieutenant Jeff Wenninger. And we've been talking about, it's not a great story, it's a sad story, but we have a bad guy that didn't want to go down easily, but he runs from a residence and he's got a gun in his hand. They do fire two phone tip rounds at him and they release a police canine on him. And they had two tech teams there. Anyhow, he ends up taking out the dog and then they take him out. So the best thing about this story, in my opinion, is that the bad guy died, rightfully so, and that we've got I know that it was a tag team, so I kind of expect these guys to have rifles, you know, long guns. But I love the fact that these guys were prepared. I mean, in hindsight, you kind of wish that a canine wasn't released on a guy that had a lethal option, a firearm, and there's questions. But it's easy the Monday morning quarterback, and I get it. These are two tag teams. I have to assume these guys know what they're doing. There's other stuff that we probably aren't aware of. Any more commentary on this story, Lieutenant Jeff?
Yeah, I think if there's anything that kind of, you know, caught this case up in regards to, you know, adjudicating it and exonerating the officers any wrongdoing, it's what we saw in the Tony McBride case. She's the daughter of Jamie McBride, who's a panelist here on your show, where the big question was the rounds that she fired after the suspect was on the ground, as if being on the ground means that you're no longer a threat. But that's, you know, the courts in her case have ruled in two different directions on that. In the most recent one, they cited a case wherein they found that it wasn't reasonable to have fired those rounds. So that's probably was what the debate was about. But in this particular circumstance, as I believe in Tony McBride's circumstance, I thought it was pretty clear that there was a continued threat to not only the officer, but to citizens that were in the area.
Yeah, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, Jeff Wenninger's talking about shots 5 and 6, I thought she was fully justified. I'm glad, and I'm sure that the civilians that were in the backdrop, surrounding, within reach of the bad guy, would not argue with that as well.
Right, but you know, in this particular case, the suspect fired 7 times, and 2 of the rounds supposedly struck the canine. killing the canine. And then there were four rounds that struck a Ford Expedition, police Expedition that was parked in the area. So there clearly was a threat. There were rounds being fired. So
no doubt. Randy Sutton, did you have anything you wanted to add?
You know, when we're talking about the number of rounds being fired, I know this has been, this really reared its ugly head, you know, during some of the anti-police movement that was very, very verbal about these kind of things. And the reasonableness of the officer's actions, you know, we often talk about the adrenaline dump that's taking place during a shooting, and you don't turn it on and off like it's a faucet. You're in combat, and law enforcement combat is no different than military combat. You are in a fight for your life, and everything that's going on physically, emotionally, psychologically in those brief seconds, you don't just suddenly within milliseconds turn it off. And this is part of the issues when, you know, during these use of force situations where officers are being prosecuted for those excessive rounds. And this is a constant battle for law enforcement.
All right. Thank you. Good point. You're right. You know, while we're at it, before we jump into our next story, Jeff Winninger, I'm going to ask you to open up your microphone. You've got a book over your shoulder for the people that are not watching the video portion of our show. For Audible listeners, she's got a book coming out, On Thin Ice. And I know that you're going to be making an announcement soon, but I know that you're being cautious about the date, but once you get the date out there, it's there. But what can you tell us about the book, and where can people go to get more information and to be on that waiting list for it to come out, so they can be one of the first people to get a hold of it?
Well, the book, I kind of talk about my unique personal background, my professional experiences and practical insights relative to what I think can be implemented to help law enforcement be successful moving forward in the 21st century. And, you know, if you want to get a little bit more insight into the book, you can go to onthinicebook.com, and there you can put in your email address and be put on the mailing list. And you can also opt in to read the prologue for free. But I will be making an announcement. We have confirmed a release date. I've promised Chip that we're going to make the initial announcement here on his show. I will tell you this, it's in September, but we will announce.
Why are you making it on my show? Day. Do it on my show.
I knew that was coming. Oh.
Jeff, yeah, what was the address again? On Thin Ice?
On thinicebook.com.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep.
So Jeff, you have it's On Thin Ice. You have a professional hockey background, but I got a question for you. I heard a rumor the other day about you, and I just want to dispel. I hate rumors. I hate people that spread rumors, kind of like what I'm doing right now. But I heard a rumor that you actually had a figure skating background, and I'm just going to give you an opportunity to dispel that rumor right now, so that people will still hold you at that high, studly level that you've always been since you've been on the show.
Well, you know, I wish I could, but I have to admit, I started, my parents initially put me into figure skating, and I attribute that to my superior skating ability, comparatively speaking to my peers initially, you know, growing up in my hockey career. So, and I actually, you know, hell, I'll admit it. I actually took ballet when I played in the United States Hockey League, and I played Division I college ice hockey. I took ballet.
Really?
Do you still have your ballerina costume?
I have something similar. All I need is tights, Randy.
Wow. Now they had a who was it? Was that John Travolta in that movie, the skating, where he was a hockey player, but then he got in the ice skating? Was that Travolta that was in that, or am I thinking, was that somebody else? You know what I'm talking about? That movie. It was a guy that grew up in like Canada.
Sounds like something Patrick Swayze would play.
All right, maybe you're right.
I don't know.
All right.
But no, they always made me wear tights, because the instructors like to see the direction that your knees are pointing.
So yeah, that's what they were looking at.
Yeah. This,
all right. Yeah. All right, we got to clean this up. All right. Is there any, well, anyhow, I mean, we're not even on the story yet. We're getting, but anything in reference to, well, that was the book. See, I'm all flustered now. So that was the book, onthinicebook.com. Randy, you've got your book, Rescuing 911, and you've got a summit coming up as well, I believe. Oh, look at that book.
Yeah. The Fight for America's Safety. This is so timely. It talks about how we got to this criminal justice crisis we're in and how we need to unite in order to get out of it. And it's a very easy to read book, and it's available.
What is it again, Randy? I'm going to look it up.
So it's Rescuing 911, and Randy made it easy. Randy made it easy to read for people like me. And I appreciate that.
But the summit will be September 22nd through the 25th. It is every aspect of surviving a law enforcement career. It is an incredible summit. John Kelly is going to be there. Sergeant John Mattingly who's an incredible speaker. Tom Rizzo. It's an all-star lineup. I urge every law enforcement officer to come to the Survival Summit. Go to thewoundedblue.org and register today.
I love it. Now, Randy, do you have pictures in your book? Do you have pictures?
Negative.
Okay, but you have a cover. You have a photo of yourself in the book or in the inside cover, backside cover, or anything like that?
Now I have to look.
Now you have to look. All right.
I have pictures for you, Chip. It'll be easy for you.
No, I don't.
No? All right.
I'll send you a glossy. I'll sign it to you.
I was going to recommend if there's a picture of Randy in a robe. It's the Hefner robe look. Remember that picture? You know that I think I sent that to you before. I still have that. Don't make me throw that picture out again. But I've got that picture. If they were ever looking for anyone to do the Playboy Mansion, the Hugh Hefner thing, I got a picture of Randy. Man, he fits that bill like.
I made the grave mistake to. When the police department did a calendar to raise money, I made the grave mistake of allowing them to pose me. I thought I destroyed every copy that there is. It is truly embarrassing. You don't have that, do you? That isn't what you have, is it?
Me?
Because I've been trying to destroy... Every copy that there is.
Listen, pal, we got AI now. We don't need you at all.
Yeah,
that's right.
I hear you, Randy. I was the cover in Mr. January of the 1998 LAPD calendar.
Jeff, well, do you ever feel like a victim?
I hope you were in more clothes than I was.
Wow. All right. This conversation will continue. All right. Time for our third commercial break. Guys, stick with us. We'll be like that. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us into trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and even disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett. I know it's hard to believe. Or attorney Ken Afiako. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you have your own agency, the founder, Dan O'Kelly's got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that is GunLearn.com. Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. And my name is Chip the Block. I'm your host. We're joined by Captain Brett Bartlett, Lieutenant Jeff Winninger. Lieutenant Randy Sutton had the bolt. There was an emergency he's dealing with, but I am going to announce the winner for the Two Bells gift card giveaway. It is Andrea Wall. And I have your email address, Andrea. So thank you so much for entering the contest. When the show is over, I will email that to you so you will have that and $20 off our online store. And everybody else, hey, the shirts like what I'm wearing, and I'm sure what, Brett, are you wearing one of our shirts? Don't tell me that I bought all those shirts for you and you don't have one of the shirts on.
You just can't see it.
Okay. All right. Anyhow, go to leoroundtable.com. In the upper right corner, you'll see we have our online store and the prices are low. I pay the same thing you guys pay. We don't make a dime off of that. We're just trying to get our gear out there. So that said, let's jump on to our next story, guys. And, you know, let me go to the story with a video component. We've got rumble.com. This is Butter, our favorite law enforcement video channel. Colorado State Patrol dash cam shows officer using the grappler device on a pursuing suspect, resulting in crashes. So,
he's running from me southbound I-25 from 84th.
Happy is also on the highway, approaching I-25 from 84th. Will you confirm that, please? You cut out. I got Boy Robert Lincoln John 9.
I'm sorry, I was trying not to laugh when I'm saying this. So it provides some validity to this Thornton, Colorado police station or police situation in a crash involving a Colorado State Police unit. And this is on I-25 on the interstate, and they're going fast. So the incident was reported about 3:40 in the morning. And so remember, Colorado State Patrol. And they were called by the Thornton police to assist in recovering an alleged stolen pickup truck. So we're talking about a stolen vehicle. And so our trooper has got the grappler installed in the front. And I couldn't really see the grappler on the dash cam. Usually you can kind of see it kind of like go up and lower. I couldn't see that. He did a couple of attempts. He did the first grapple attempt. It didn't happen. And then the trooper was able to grapple successfully on Interstate 25. So after he contacts the Ram truck and initiates the grappler, the truck goes sideways and crashes to the left inside the concrete median. And I'll be if he didn't drag that cruiser over and crash into the median as well. And then the truck crosses all over all the lanes of the interstate and crashes into the concrete median on the outside lane as well. But the cruiser, it was disabled, but it didn't crash again into the other concrete barricades anyhow. So it was, I've never seen that happen before. But they love the grappler. It was developed by a roofer, which I did not know. And it still worked. It's one of those freak accidents. I think I just was kind of curious what you guys thought about it. There's a cool video that goes along with it. Captain Bartlett.
I'm not sure I want to be attached to some crazy vehicle zipping up and down the road. I don't understand. I thought it was, they get it under that other car's tire and let it wrap around, let it stop, and then they back off. But I didn't see that. I'm not sure how that works. But I mean, this guy's all over the road, and you got no choice now.
There's a tether. I mean, they were with that much speed and weight. Remember, it was a truck. You know, they're attached, and he, but the trooper kind of lost control of the vehicle. You know, at that, there's probably things he could have done to keep him from. You know, you keep your tires going in the direction that you're being pulled. Let them roll instead of skid, things like that. But yeah, exciting stuff. Jeff, do they use the grappler in LA or with the sheriff's office over the PD?
We do not.
No. Okay.
No.
I don't know if anyone in Tampa that's got it, but.
I mean, it's an alternative to the pit maneuver, and you know, they're all quite risky. Just give your listeners some idea. Generally requires supervisory approval to use. It's generally used between 15 and 75 miles per hour. And it's strongly encouraged that prior to it being used, if possible, you want to have two additional units that are with you, because as you can see, it can result in perhaps not the most favorable position, and it may incapacitate the driver of the unit that actually applies the technique. And you need two units to be able to address and take into custody the suspect. So, you know, those are all things that you want to consider. And it's also if you're provided the opportunity, you want to do a traffic break prior to doing it. So you don't
Good point. I mean, you're right. When the vehicles came to rest, the trooper's cruiser, they were parallel to each other. They were side by side, right? That not an ideal, you know, situation, you know, driver's door, the driver's door, you know. Yeah, Not too great. Yep. So,
essentially, how it's supposed to work is you have the primary unit, and then you want to get two additional units behind you. When you make the determination that you're going to use the grappler, the primary unit relinquishes, allows the secondary unit to come through, tactically deploy the grappler, and then the primary unit and the third unit will then be responsible for taking the individual into custody. And if you have a traffic break, you don't have to worry about traffic rolling up on you and having a secondary threat. Mm-hmm. As you know, we've seen like this, this occurred on a freeway. You know, we've seen just a couple of weeks ago, we had a sergeant with the LAPD that was killed who stopped to assist in a one vehicle traffic collision on the freeway, the 405 actually. And he was hit and killed by oncoming traffic. So that's a whole secondary type of threat that you have to worry about. So those are the types of things you need to consider. Keep a clear head when you're considering when it's the best time and if it's appropriate to use, and if you have everything in place that you're going to need to make it safe, or at least the safest you can.
Yeah. Well, guys, if you're ready, we got a Orlando video that I'd like to cover. Rumble.com. This is Butter again, our favorite channel. Orlando police released body cam video of an arrest that went viral.
Stop. Stop. Get down on the ground. Stop. Put your hands up. Get down on the ground. Get down on the ground. Do it now. Stop. Get down. I'm going to shoot you. Get out of the fucking ground. Get down on the ground. I'm going to fucking shoot you. Roll on your stomach. I'm going to fucking shoot you. Roll on your stomach.
I'm on my stomach, sir.
Keep your hands out or I'm going to fucking shoot you. Put your hands behind your back.
Nothing.
So Orlando PD, they released this, and it happened on the 4th of July. Now, police say that 22-year-old, you know, bad guys are all, you know, typically they're young, right? Or the bad guys, you know, have children who also can, you know, when Brett and I were working, we used to deal with the dynasty of the family, right? So this 22-year-old named Zion Skeppel, he's waving a gun around several people. So cops get the call. They attempt to stop him. He ignores the officer's commands, and then he appears to reach for something, prompting an officer to draw his gun and order him to the ground. Now, Skeppel, or bad guy, complies initially, taken to the custody without further incident, and he had a gun and marijuana on him, and he facing charges of drugs and resisting arrest. But let's go, you know, to the notes here. When you start watching, they say that the initial call came in about a guy waving a firearm in front of several people on July the 4th, and he flees on foot from the officer, which they leave out in the original article. They deploy a taser, and they do it twice, but it's one of these multi-fire tasers at the 26 and the 27 mark. And apparently the 27-second mark did it. The second deployment, the guy face plants on the sidewalk right in front of the door to a residence. And then it wasn't until the cop said, you remember, he's got his taser out because he's just deployed the taser twice. But now the cop has got his taser in the left hand, and he draws his duty weapon in his right hand. And he says, dude, I'm going to shoot you. And at that point, the suspect, at 1 minute and 5 seconds, he complies and he gets handcuffed. And then they pull out this concealed firearm with an extended magazine on him that he had in his clothing. So good instincts from the cop. Captain Bartlett.
I think that there was a danger point there where the officer had the taser and the gun in both hands. And, you know, he was still in that decision process of which one, if any, to deploy. And that could be an issue.
Can you tell our audience why? I mean,
well, because there's a phenomenon when one hand, it's called a sympathetic response, sympathetic grip. When one hand clenches, you know, under stress, they both do it. So I think the better part there, of course, you know, it's only seconds. If he's going to have the pistol in his hand, he needs to go ahead and drop the taser. Just drop it. Just get it out of his hand. So he's not in that. I just don't think they should have both in their hand at one time.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen. I remember distinctly a cop being harassed by kids, and he had a gun in his hand, and he reaches through and he grabs the kid through the hedge, and he pulls him towards him, and instinctively he's doing that action with his right hand grabbing the kid. And he pulls the trigger with the trigger finger and with the other hand, you know, and they got it all on video. Yeah. Lieutenant Winninger.
Yeah. I'm in the same camp as Brett. I'm just not really sure of the sound judgment in deploying the taser in this case, because you're there for a guy that is armed with a gun. he reached for something which you can reasonably believe would be a gun. That's what created this entire foot pursuit. And you don't want to be in a gunfight with a taser.
That is true. I think we all agree on that. All right. Another fantastic show, guys. And thank you so much, Lieutenant Jeff Wininger, Captain Brett Bartlett with Exumber Defense Solutions at ExumberDefense.com. Jeff, I do want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out in the world of hurt. He has that summit coming up, and he just wrote that book, Rescuing 911. So to our listening audience and viewers, please keep that in mind. Jeff, again, you've got your book coming up, and I've got the website address on there, onthinicebook.com, or then go to jeffwininger.com, and you're going to be making an announcement next week, I believe, on a date coming up on when they can get their hands on that book. But in the meantime, go to jeffwininger.com or onthinicebook.com. Guys, please support our sponsors. They go to the great lengths to bring this good quality content to you, and we appreciate them. And, radio is not cheap, and we're nationally syndicated now, and now we're on satellite, and that's certainly not cheap. So please support our sponsors, Gulls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, GunLearn, Blue the Gold, My Medicare, Safeguard Recruiting, and TubeBells.com. And thanks for your support, guys. We'll look for you back next week at 12 noon Eastern.